allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We're going to start off our evening with a presentation from Mr. Keller on some high school data.
So we get to the middle school data first, then we'll get to the high school data.
We'll be waiting.
Some of this you guys will be reflected in, actually. So you might want to know. So, remember last year they did change the middle school testing format, and they also changed from 3 days to two. So with that also came the precursor that you shouldn't compare last year's test results to previous years because of the changes in format. So with that said, I do still also have previous year's results on here just because we do try to still track the data in the middle school and the high school in order to try and figure out where our weaknesses are. Even though they did change the test a little bit and went from 3 days to two, we still need to try and see where we were. So some of the data I did put in here, you'll actually see a little bit in the high school algebra results. So we do actually track down in the office. I have a graph where my current ninth graders, where they were, for example, in ELA all the way back to third grade. So what percentage of them scored at a level 2 through 4 proficiency? All the way back to 6 years ago to where we will see how they do on the algebra regions this year. So we do try to actually keep track of that. So that's one of the reasons you'll see a lot of stuff here. So I will tell you, from us with math, and Mr. D knows and the other administration knows, we are going to start a district audit for our math department, K through 12. Math for us is a weak area. Our students struggle. We get a lot of them in middle school that still struggle to know their math facts. So Mrs. Durkee and Mrs. Checkville spend a lot of time just doing some basic math facts with students. That being said, our students are getting a little bit better, but we have a long way to go. You can see up here in this column from last year, you know, we did have 45% of our students get a 2, but we had a whole bunch of our students also getting ones. And even though, you know, the level 2 looks good, the level 3s, and that we didn't have any students last year in 8th grade get a level 4. So one of the things that doesn't account for, and we talked about it last year too, is this only accounts for the students that actually took these tests. So remember, if a kid or a student was opted out by their parents, we wouldn't have any idea of knowing what that student would score. And if we have 8th graders, which we do, who we advance to take algebra in advanced classes in 8th grade, their scores don't count on an 8th grade test. They only count toward the algebra regions exam. So those end up getting skewed where it looks like you wouldn't have any 4s, but if a student opted out or obviously got advanced, we wouldn't have them showing up in any of that data anyway. We do look at Washington County schools. If you see, compared to other Washington County schools last year, we're not a whole lot different than they are. The problem is for us is we have to fix this level 4, level 3 area because we are not in compliance with where we need to be. We do look at a lot. 5th period this year, we do have AIS built in for our students who scored below a certain level on this test last year, where those kids are in between multiple grades are switching back and forth between AIS and English and math every day. And this is the one that we really try to look at that kind of boils it down to where we are, Whitehall Central School versus the state of New York versus Washington County. So this is a level 2 through 4. So this looks really good for us because we're the blue. The problem is the majority of our blue is only a level 2, where we need the majority of that blue to be a level 3 or 4. So when it boils down to just these numbers, it makes it look great. But that's where those sometimes when we talk about numbers and they can be a little skewed, too much of our blue is a level 2, where if we only had a level 3 or 4, you'd see that graph look a lot different. Same thing with our 7th grade. We didn't have any students in 7th grade last year scoring a 4. We had a huge amount of students in 7th grade last year score at levels 1 and 2, and we are working hard at that. Every day, Mr. Stutz and Ms. Checkla, 5th period, they alternate and go back and forth between the 7th and 8th graders for AIS, for English and math. this year has something new that's an extra assignment for both of those teachers. They're both working really hard, those students are making big progress. And look, Mr. Montville, every 5 weeks, gives me a report on the students that we have in AIS and students who went to our summer program, and how they're doing versus what they did last year. The same thing with our students in 7th, 6th, 7th, and 8th grade that we have repeat. We track them as repeaters to see how much better they are or aren't doing the second year that we keep them in that grade. So we have, for example, some students in 6th grade who are repeating that made the honor roll here at the end of the first quarter. So even though they're repeating, the good news is we know they're repeating and doing much, much better. And we're trying to do that in the middle school to get them more prepared for when that clock starts in 9th grade where there's no doing it again. Once you start 9th grade, you got 4 years. And so we're trying to catch them before we get to that point. So here's where we are with the 7th grade math compared to New York State and Washington County. Washington County had a good year in 7th grade math. A little bit of the same things here. We've got to go through and we look at it a lot. And then I send these numbers to the teachers and we double check them with Kate Jones through BOCES. And then they'll load up the report card. Our 6th grade, so one of our things that we find in 6th grade, Ms. Durkee spends a lot of time in 6th grade and in her classes every day going over simple facts. And it's not always just double-digit multiplication. It's one-digit multiplication or how to do division. Simple facts that our students just need remediation on. We do give them that remediation, but it just takes time. So one of the things you'll see when we get to the high school level for the math results is in 6th grade, what tries to help us right now lower that gap, which I don't know if it's sustainable or it's not, our 6th graders get double periods of math and English. So that makes it pretty hard in our master schedule because we don't do that for any other classes in the middle school at all or for any other subjects in the middle school. So that makes it hard to fit in some other classes we'd like to try to get for them, but we do it with the 6th graders to try and narrow some of those gaps. The 8th grade is pretty hard to compare anything to because they only take the science test in 4th grade and they don't take it again until 8th grade. So it's not like you have a year-by-year-by-year basis. You know, you go 3 years without taking it. Our kids last year in the 8th grade science test did pretty well. 56% of them getting a level 3 is pretty darn good. Obviously, we'd like for more of them to get a level 4, but if you look at our level 2, 3, and 4, it's 94.5% scored at least 2, 3, 4. That was a very good year for us for science compared to other years that I've seen. The science data is not always easy to find and to actually analyze as some of the other data. One of the bright spots for us is English. So you'll see this carries all the way through with our 11th grade English results. Our English results in the middle school and in the high school have been outstanding. They're getting better and better. So maybe they weren't always outstanding, but the last 3 years they've gotten better and better every year, to the point where we are maintaining at least a 90% average passing rate on the state regents exams. We do have kids getting fours on those. We have a lot of kids doing better and better. And then when you compare us to Washington County, we actually have more kids getting fours, a lot more kids getting the twos, and it's not that bad. It bounces out pretty good there with the threes, but only off 5%. So when it comes to English, in the middle school, even all the way through 7th and 6th grade, we are actually probably above, well above the average. We're getting better, but again, it comes with a lot of designated time during the day for our middle school students. So you'll see there's our percentage of a 2 through 4, 86%. The state level is only 81, and in Washington County, only 79. Our 7th grade, even though we're getting kids consistently, we get some fours and we get a higher percentage of threes and twos. So there is a bit of a difference. So there's always a cutoff mark, just like with everything. So let's send you a cutoff mark for these level twos and threes and fours. So it may say 400 to 510 is a two. So what it doesn't account for is just 400, 510 is a two. So if we have five kids, I know last year they get like a 1 point below getting a three. For us, those five kids actually changes those percentages by 12% because each one of our kids, when we have 49 or 48 kids in a graduating class, can change for us by 2.2% just for every single kid. those five kids makes a big difference. It affects us a lot with our graduation rate. And there's Washington County. As you can see, we did pretty well. UCLA. Our sixth graders spend a lot of time working on making differences and making main ideas and coming up with supporting documentation from that. We used to just use the STAR testing in sixth grade here in this building when I first started. Last year they expanded to do Ames Web because the Ames Web is also used up at the elementary school, so we wanted to be consistent with that building as well. We do see some our students getting a little bit better at writing over the years, but we have a lot of students who continue to struggle. One of the reasons these scores are higher is because we have students who struggle a lot. They're getting better at reading, but their comprehension skills and being able to report out to us what they read is a struggle. So we try to work on that. We're trying to get teachers to work on that, not just in ELA, but in social studies and science and math. One of the differences for all of us compared to when we went to school, these guys all, when they do math problems, can't just give you the mental math, where my teacher used to yell at us if we couldn't do mental math. Now, if the kid just does mental math, they get it wrong. Because if you can't explain it right out why you got the answer, you can't get full credit. Which, when we were kids, we just gave the right answer. Good news for me, yay 100%. So that is definitely a significant difference for our kids. And you can see there with sixth grade, we were just a bit ahead of New York State, right in the middle of Washington County, so that's pretty good. So for us, this is where it really counts. Mr. D and I spent a lot of time talking about those middle school numbers. And those numbers are numbers, but they get skewed because it doesn't always account for all those things I mentioned earlier. And then when high school results come through, those are the real deal. Because kids now know they can't just fill out their answer sheets, they can't opt out. You have to do these things to graduate. So these are the ones I spend a lot more time actually worrying about. We talk about more as a faculty, because we know our number one goal every day, and we talk about a lot of stuff. Our job is to get kids out of high school and to try and get them more prepared for when they leave here. So these are the ones we definitely spend a lot more time on. So one of the things I was talking about earlier, you see our algebra results here from last year. So this was from last June. This was our passing rate on the algebra exam. So 57%, I would tell you, does not make me happy remotely at all. But then when I got into looking at this group of 57% of the students who took that exam last year, then if you look at when they were in eighth grade, only 49% of them got a 2 through 4, and only 13% of them got a 3 through 4. Versus when they were in seventh grade, only 37% of them were able to get through a 2 through 4, and 13% that same was at a 3 or 4. So why this 57% doesn't make us happy, we do know we went from 37 to 49 to 57. So that part does show a lot of growth. So we know that we're making headway once our students are getting through middle school and getting into the algebra exam. Our students are doing a good job of trying to improve. And then one of the things our student doesn't take account for is our August results. So one of the things I would tell you about our August results is we had 11 students who did not pass in June retake it. 10 of those 11 did take it and did really well in August. So that, for us, raises that average about 21%. But they don't include that number on our report card from June. Because for us, school districts start July 1st, so those 10, that 10 out of 11 won't be reflected until the next year's school report card. So even though that 57% is there, I really know at least 88% of those kids who had to take the algebra are done with it by now versus retakes in January. It makes us feel a lot better about it. As you can see, last year in June, our geometry results were outstanding, with 86% of the kids passing the first time. Same thing with algebra 2 trig. I looked at this algebra 2 trig number back in the last 15 years and couldn't find numbers that good. It was really good. And then our same thing with our geometry results. I don't know that I could find another previous year back, going all the way back to 2004. I couldn't find one that had done as well. I think part of that comes from we do have more math electives, that's good that we've got that support to do that. So we aren't putting kids in classes that they maybe should be in just so they got their third math credit versus putting them in a Regents class that's going to be over the head for some of them. Definitely has made a big difference, and our teachers have taken advantage of it, and our students have been more successful because of it. Our science scores were really good. We enjoyed that. Remember this year right here, 2016 and 7, we didn't offer earth science in the building because we were transitioning to all of our kids taking living environment as ninth grade. But last year, with 84% of the kids passing earth science, that was the highest one I had found in more than 10 years. Our living environment, still really good. And chemistry was up to 81% last year. That was by far the highest I had found. And we didn't have a ton of kids who took physics, but all the ones who took them, that handful of students who took physics last year, all did pass. So those were bright spots for us. And I think that part of that is, I would tell you, definitely comes from, we had students in the right places last year where you see the purple. We have forensic science, we have physical science, we have other classes that our kids are taking versus saying every kid has to take chemistry to get their third class, because not every kid should be taking chemistry. So we have a science and society class and some other things that they're able to get for their third credit and not, because one of the, not have to take chemistry, because one of the things all of us who've taken chemistry know is if you're not good at math, you're not going to be good at chemistry, right guys?
Right.
You've got to be able to do it. So one of the prerequisites we have now for chemistry for our students is if they get a certain grade in algebra, we don't move them into chemistry because we know that's going to set them up for failure. Our history Regents exams, very good. I'll tell you a note about the global history from last year. This 71% is lower than the previous year, but last year was the first year for a new format for our global history exams. Next year we'll have the same for U.S. history. It used to be all of us took 50 multiple choice and then DBQ short answers. We did DBQ essay, and we did a Fanatic essay. Now they have completely different essays, they have a different number of multiple choice. That format has changed and is now only over 10th grade material. It's not over the 9th and 10th grade like most of us did. So last year was the first year for that. We were selected by the old New York State Education Department to be a test school for that. And so our students, instead of getting it until the third week of June to prepare for that exam, we were one of the test schools, and our students had to take it June 5th. Before we were even out of school. So they did take that during the day with less time. So even though that's 71%, our goal is to get at least 80% in all these exams. I was actually pretty happy with that 71% because, again, in August, we had 9 more kids take that and all of them pass. That raises that by about another 18%. So by that 71 is something we want to see at an 80. It does get a lot better if you look at the whole story. Told you again, the English for us is a bright spot. Our kids are doing really well. And our students, I will tell you, all take the English Regents in January for the first time. So this passing rate here is reflective of what our kids do halfway through their junior year. And then students who want to retake it to get a higher score, and students who didn't pass get another opportunity in June. So our students, I think that's really, really good for our students taking it and passing it that much early, getting the other opportunity if they need to, is really good. It helps our students overall. We end up with less than 1% of our kids who end up having to retake that for a third time. This is some of the stuff we've talked about at some meetings that we want to start trying to work on. I know I was talking to Mr. Brooks earlier, so we have done a lot of things and made a lot of improvements, but if we're going to start making the improvements where I think we all want to go, these are some of the things, and graduation rate and some of the data stuff we're going to have to look at to try and raise it. So this is a graph I didn't have last year showing the mastery rate on these different exams for our students over the years. So as you can see, the good news is on all these exams right here, those passing rates were pretty good except for algebra. But in the previous years, math has always been a problem. You see here in these 2 years, no one was unfortunately able to get into the mastery. So that is something we've got to worry about. But the good news is some of these other areas, we do have some pretty high percentages there. Earth science last year, you saw that 84 or 85% passing rate. 36% of those kids actually got over 85. Very good. And then another slide I added this year was about our graduation rate. So Mr. D, he collects goals from all of us. So I gave him two goals this year. And the goals that I'm going to give him for as long as I work here, I've talked about it with our staff. Our goal is to get 80% of our walk. 80% on every Regents exam, 80% graduation rate, nothing less. That's our goal moving forward. We don't want to see less than 80 under any number. Our kids are good enough, and we definitely have enough talented teachers here to maintain that. So there are some definite obstacles that have gone in the way of that. For instance, each one of our students count a little over 2%. So it doesn't take long. If you get five kids who, for whatever reason, don't pass, you're talking about 13% right there. But even with that being said, our goal is to try and get 8 every exam, every year for graduation, and try and keep that happening no matter what. So, you know, there's a little bit of where we're at. If someone has any questions, you're more than welcome to ask. I do feel really confident in the improvement that we're making. The other thing I feel really confident is that these grades or these scores are accurate of what our students really know. That our students are earning the grades that they're getting, that we're not inflating anything like people have talked about in the past, and the grades that students are getting are reflective in those report cards that we see and sent out last week versus what we're seeing up here versus one of the other charts I can track down in the office is in previous years, students' final average for class and then what their average difference was between what they got on the Regents exam and what their result was in class. And some years, kids were getting 86s or 87s for classes and then getting 70s or almost failing exams. So we do track that now, and then teachers have to provide me some of that information at the end of the year on their checkout list. Because I tell them, if it's more than 7, something's wrong. We've got to figure it out. Something's wrong with your curriculum, something's wrong with your exams. It can't be that high. It's got to be reflective of what's really happening.
Did you say the
8th
grade accelerated math students don't take the state exam?
No, they can't take it, but their scores won't count. They don't count on our data.
And so that's true of any school district. They don't count.
You can't count the kids twice in 2 different exams. So we accelerate them.
In 8th grade?
Right.
Oh, okay.
So we accelerate them, so they don't count the class that we accelerated them.
So that hurts the 8th grade results because you
every year. So the current 10th grade class, 2 years ago, there was 10 of them that took living environment, they took algebra. When they were 8th graders, every one of them passed those Regents exams when they were in 8th grade. And some of them got over 90s on their Regents exams. They are a very talented group of 10th graders this year. Some of them are already taking chemistry, and they're exceptional. They wouldn't have counted for that year's science or math scores. And they are very, very talented. Next year, they'll be juniors taking physics. They don't get to reflect it on numbers.
Right.
Yes, you mentioned the 6th graders were working on inferences through that ELA program. Is that the first time they come in contact with it?
No.
When do they start doing that?
That's one of our focuses this year, too, is our writing. And we're doing what we call keys of literacy.
Mm-hmm.
So we have, we set that up the different, right? Like each grade has different focuses. Inferences, I know we do talk about throughout, but we also, you know, we have to get into poetry, we have to get into not just inferences, but also critical thinking and a couple other pieces, but
mm-hmm.
we do start to talk about it. We're working on it this year.
Okay, I didn't know if that was the first time they ran into it, and maybe that was why they struggled a little bit.
And it is definitely, you know, one of our weaknesses,
mm-hmm.
right, just because we focus so hard on the reading for
right,
a couple
right.
years, and now we're working on that, I think we're
yeah.
going to see. We just, yeah.
But Josh is right, but it's a little touchy.
Okay, so my turn. So as we know, special education spans like the entire district. I did focus specifically on the grades 3 through 8, like SAGE assessments, but I kind of wanted to go backwards a little bit and let you guys know some of the initiatives that are going on at White Hall City School in regards to special education and where a lot of the ideas are coming from. So I call this our why. So the mission of the New York State Education Department and the mission of Whitehall Central School, is basically to make sure that our students with disabilities have opportunities to benefit from high-quality instruction, to reach the same standards as all students, and to leave school prepared to basically be, you know, post-school learning and living and working. So again, this, even though that comes across from the State Education Department as their mission, that certainly is our why also. So then it comes from there as a certain type of mindset. And that mindset comes from something called the Least Restrictive Environment, or LREs. Special education loves to use tons of acronyms. And again, this is again right from special ed publications. It's just basically saying that students with disabilities have a fundamental right to receive their special education supports in a classroom and setting that to the maximum extent appropriate includes students without disabilities. And in New York State, data shows that far too many students with disabilities are removed from their general education classes in schools, and it's disparate with data from other states. So again, this that the mindset, the least restrictive environment, and the mission statement for our new State Education Department is the whole push for why we're really trying to have inclusionary classrooms as much as possible. So that being said, our current numbers right now, and I say ages 6 to 21, because 3 through 5 has a different type of beginning to like preschool services. So school-age students, age 6 to 21, we have right now, as of Beds Day, which is like October, I think in October, is 133 students. So then we have these numbers, which are called the least restrictive environment numbers, and so this data is what's collected by the state and can kind of get us like it is in trouble with our numbers being too high, that kids are in separate schools or in regular classrooms less than 40% of the day. So if you look, we're actually doing pretty well this school year. So inside the regular classroom, 80% or more of the day, we have 80 of our students are participating in that. The 40 to 79% of the day, there's only 13. And then less than 40% of the day of the students is 26. So the 40 to 79%, you're looking at kids who are only going to a special class for maybe one period a day for, say, special class ELA, or they're doing, like, resource room, which are pull-out services. And then the classrooms less than 40% of the day, those are three, we have three self-contained classrooms left in the district. And those are the students be there. Separate school students are kids that go to BOC settings or private schools, typically TOSFET. So our classroom configurations that we have right now. So 17-18 school year, I just wanted you guys to see this. So when I started here, we had six self-contained classrooms, technically called special classes. We had two 811 classes and four 1211 classes. And then everything else was direct consolidated teacher and or a research room. This current school year, we have three. And they're 1211 classrooms. And then everything else is either direct consolidated teacher and or a research room. So the students are being pushed into regular education classrooms, especially at high school, in which a special ed teacher and sometimes a classroom assistant push into that regular class and provide supports to the students. Because one thing that actually Ms. Ertz and I were talking about before the board meeting started is that our special ed students have really two options with assessments. They can do something called ALT assessment, New York State Alternate Assessment, or they have to take either the 3-8 assessments or Regents. Those are your options. There's nothing in between. And to become ALT assessment, there's very specific criteria, and one of them is you have to be classified with an intellectual disability, so your IQ is less than 70. So there's a lot of kids that fall in between ALT assessment and then having to sit for our state assessments and for Regents. So that being said, this stuff is right from the state report cards, and again, I know we're asking to compare this like 17-18, just to give you a quick number. So in 2017, 36% of our special ed students were considered proficient, and then this school year, 13% were. You can see compared to Washington County, we are at lower levels, and sometimes I kind of wonder with the 2018, going from 3 days of testing down to two, maybe it's too much for the not scanning across as many days for our students with disabilities. And then this is for junior, senior high school. You can see that our levels 2-4 for 2018 certainly improved compared to 2017. That's good. And then math, we're backwards a little bit in math, 18% to 16%. You can still see it's still the same number of students, so only five students took it, but because there was more kids took it this past school year than last year, changed the numbers up. And for some reason, I couldn't get any of the 2017 math from the school report card. What's up with that?
Right, so if less than a certain percentage of our students was tested in any subject, it won't show up on the green sheets or on the state report card at all.
Yep.
So it's usually less than 3%. If less than 3% of our population ended up getting tested, they won't give us a result for that.
Right, okay. I was thinking that might be it. So then to speak about the ALT assessment, currently this school year we have 9 students, grades 3 through 8, that qualify for ALT assessment. And so when you're looking back at some of those scores, some of those kids, there's only 13 kids for testing. If there's one student that should be ALT assessment and is not, it can throw off our data, like, incredibly. And so since I've been here, every single year we have meetings. We're finding more and more kids that are eligible for ALT assessment, and they do not have to sit through those, 2 days of testing. And they actually get a specific assessment that's tailored to what they can. So what steps are we taking to make improvements? Kind of goes without saying, but when you're improving regular education instruction, you're going to improve the special education student skills. Better instruction leads to better instruction. So we're looking more at explicit instruction through grade 6 through 12. There's like a big move to be better at explicit instruction, and therefore that helps also with differentiated instruction. This not only helps students with disabilities, but all of our students, all of our regular education students. Like I said, appropriate classification of students eligible for ALT assessment, and then speaking to that least restrictive environment, where students are getting exposed to the same standards or curriculum, then they're going to do better on those assessments.
The only comment I had is Mr. Sarnia wanted to get the board up for the meeting for a photograph if everyone could hang back when we're finished tonight. Down to superintendent's comments. Oh, board comments in general. I apologize. Anyone else have anything they want to raise? Okay. Mr. Dean.
I just want to start by saying thank you to Mr. Keller and Ms. Hazelton for their presentations. Part of what we've been talking about for the past 3 years is the fact that we had a lot of room for improvement, and we have looked very, very closely at our instructional practices, our curricula, and overall performance here within the district, and our teachers have truly stepped up and done outstanding work. Every time we've asked them to do something new, different, or difficult. And that's been for the betterment of the school district and certainly for our students. I can say confidently that the number of opportunities that we now provide for our student body here in Whitehall is substantially greater than has ever been. And I'm very, very pleased to say thank you to our faculty and staff and our administrative group for their exceptionally hard work. Do we still have room for growth? Absolutely. I said when we started this process that this was going to take time, and I think what we're seeing each year is some nice growth. We're seeing growth in many different areas. We still have other areas, in particular with math and with writing, that we still need to do work on. And we've put into place procedures to help address some of those concerns we have. In particular, with mathematics, with the math audit that we talked about last month, new writing procedure and processes that are occurring at the elementary school as well as the high school. I think you're going to pay great dividends as we move forward. So, again, we can't address all the issues, you know, in one fell swoop, but we're chipping away, and we're chipping away at them very, very nicely, and I hope and I believe that it's all for the betterment of our students. So thank you to both Jeff and DeGree for their presentations this evening. a couple of things occurring since our last Board of Education meeting. We had the good fortune of having Senator Little and Assemblyman Steck visit us back on October 19th as guest servers in the cafeteria. They had a chance to see some of the great things that are going on in the cafeteria with our new menu items, as well as the multitude of different activities that Mrs. Mackey is engaging in with our students. So it's nice to have them here. On the 19th, we had a superintendent's conference day where we partnered with all school districts from throughout Washington County. And we're working in professional learning communities so that our teachers at each grade level and in each department have the opportunity to get to know and work with teachers from other districts here in our region. And our intent is to allow our teachers to be able to work together and share best practices moving forward. And again, by engaging in activities such as those, it's certainly going to help increase our student performance as well as hopefully our educators' interest in continuing our craft. Several different events occurred on October 24th. There was a really fun Iron Chef competition in the cafeteria, fall themed. We had the opportunity to try a lot of pretty good food in the cafeteria that student teacher groups made. Yet again, another wonderful activity that Mrs. Mackey engages in the cafeteria. The elementary had a Halloween party. We've also had our emergency release day as well as lockdown drills. There was a lockdown drill today, and I'm glad to announce that our system is working well. I dropped my son off at the elementary here at the his school this morning, and I got here about 30 seconds before the lockdown started and couldn't get in the district. So, works well. So I sat in my truck and listened to NPR for 15 minutes. It was a good time. You'll note tonight we have up here in front of the audience project boards. And those are informational. They're going to be placed in the lobby of both the high school and elementary school that are related to our upcoming capital project vote. You'll see on there the different pieces of work that are going to be accomplished, hopefully, in both of the buildings with a positive vote. And it also shows the tax implication for the two different propositions. The first proposition is tax neutral. It costs our taxpayers $0 in new money to accomplish in excess of $15 million worth of work. And the second proposition will cost the average taxpayer between $3 and $10 on a $100,000 home for nearly a $2 million second phase of the project. So part of what I'll be doing as well is on the 28th at 6 p.m. right here in this room, I'll be holding a community forum to share information about the project. We're going to get the information hopefully in the Times, get it on our marquee. And get it on our website, get as many people here as possible to hear about the project and ask any questions that they may have. We had an audit of our cafeteria operations. Periodically, the state of New York will come in and do a complete audit of our operations, and one of the most wonderful pieces of news is Mrs. Mackey, our cafeteria director, received an outstanding rating with zero financial findings, no programmatic findings, no facility findings, and no regulatory findings. And as such, the auditor from the state that's been doing this for decades is going to be recommending Mrs. Mackey as the statewide cafeteria manager of the year.
Wow.
So that's great news. And with that, we'll be a site where individual cafeteria managers from throughout the state will be able to come and visit and see what happens and how we do things. And we'll also loan Mrs. Mackey on occasion to other school districts to go out and help out. So it'll be a great honor, hopefully. Something that she earns. Just being nominated is spectacular. but the hard work and dedication that she's put forth certainly is well worth the recommendation. We have Thanksgiving recess coming up Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Just in case anybody forgot, you don't have to come to school Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Looks like we're going to get a few inches of snow tonight. I hope not to have to close again because that was just a total bummer. It's lonely when we're here all by ourselves. coming up on December 3rd, there will be an Adirondack Area School Board's meeting for any board members that may wish to come. Nizbah will be there speaking. So if you'd like to come, please let me know. That's all I have.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Well, we'll keep moving along here. Staff reports. Any comments you want to add on those?
What I would like to recommend is the board take action to approve the recommendations that will be set forth by Mrs. Birch regarding the treasurer's report.
Okay. We have a motion to approve those reports.
So moved.
By Mrs. Norton, seconded by Mr. Brooks. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Board minutes from October 15th.
We recommend the board take action to approve the board minutes that are set forth in the agenda.
Okay. So we have a motion to approve those minutes. Moved by Mr. LaChapelle.
Second
by Mr. Brooks. Any discussion on the minutes? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. CSE, CPSE minutes.
I recommend the board take action to approve the CSE and CPSE minutes from June 7, September 25, and 26, October 3rd, 24th, and 31st.
Okay. We have a motion to approve those minutes.
So moved.
Moved by Mrs. Waters.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Norton. Any discussion on those minutes? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Presentations.
With regret and appreciation, I would recommend the board take action to approve the resignation of Mr. Ben Reynolds from the position of department chair effective December 1st, 2018 for personal reasons.
Okay. We have a motion to approve that resignation.
So moved.
By Mr. LaChapelle.
Second.
Second by Mr. Brooks. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Appointments. We should break these, if everyone agrees, break them into three sections. We can do the, I'll call it district appointments, if you will, and then coaching appointments, and then the special meeting appointments. Is that okay?
Sure.
Anyone mind if we do those like that?
Okay, we've got a few folks that we would like to recommend to the board for appointment. First is Mr. Ray Blondo. Ray has been acting in the position of maintenance mechanic and has reached the time frame necessary to be appointed permanently, moving from provisionally. We'd also like to recommend Mrs. Angie Greeno to the position of account clerk principal secretary. That would be a reappointment pending the upcoming test that will be provided by civil service. I'd also recommend to the board that we appoint Ms. Sherry Cummings to the position of mentor for Sarah Siebel. Sarah is a new teacher that is taking over the second grade position at the elementary school for Cameron Casey. I'd also recommend that Ms. Missy DiResta be appointed to the position of assistant cook at the compensation that is provided. Appointment of Ms. Christine Stark to the position of head cook, moving forward from provisional to permanent appointment, as well as Mrs. Sheila Jordan to the position of teacher bus aide, effective November 20, to be compensated at the amount provided. And the next one is athletics. Do you want me to include that in athletics? Or okay. And lastly would be Ms. Sonia Ingalls, Division of Ski Club Advisor for the 2018-2019 school year. This is the position she's held for multiple years for the district.
Thank you, sir. We have a motion to approve those appointments.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Brooks, second by Mrs. Norton. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Now coaching appointments.
We have several individuals that have expressed interest in helping us out with coaching. Mr. Charlie Baskew for Modified Boys Basketball, Jerry Arquette for Modified Girls Basketball, Scott Rozelle for 5'6 Basketball, Jared Eggleston for 5'6 Girls Basketball, Brandon Signa for Grade 3-4 Boys Basketball, and Matt Waters and Mark St. Clair for 3-4 Girls Basketball.
Do you have a motion to approve those appointments?
So
moved. By Mr. LaChapelle.
Second.
Second by Mr. Dudley.
And I won't be voting.
Okay, any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And one abstain? Carried. And district meeting appointments.
For the upcoming special vote to be held on December 11th, I would like to recommend the board take action to approve Mrs. Martha Baskew to the chairperson and chief inspector position, Ms. Kristen Olvin to the inspector position, Marsha Ross for an inspector position, and Kim Manning as an inspector as part of her district clerk duties.
Okay. A motion to approve those appointments for the district meeting. Moved by Mrs. Waters.
Second.
Second by Mr. Brooks. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Audit.
With pleasure, I'd like to recommend the board take action to approve with special thanks to Mrs. Birch and her staff for an unqualified audit of the Whitehall Central School District records.
I have a motion to accept the audit report.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Brooks.
Second.
Second by Mr. LaChapelle. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Nice job, Mrs. Birch.
Thank you.
Ms. Bolzos.
I would recommend to the board that you allow us to take action to sell off, hopefully, 21 analog handheld radios. We have replaced them with digital.
Do we have a motion to approve those disposals?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Dudley.
Second.
Second by Mrs. Waters. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
I'd recommend the board take action to approve the wrestling tournament to be held on March 1st, 2019 from 3 to 7 p.m.
Set up on the first, right?
Yes.
Tournament set up.
Yep.
We have a motion to approve that building use?
Moved, yeah.
Moved by Mr. Dudley, second by Mr. Brooks. Second, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was second. Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Grasping anti-discrimination policy.
Last month, we had the opportunity to present to the board for their review the first read of the harassment and anti-discrimination policy as well as complaint form. I'm recommending this evening be treated as the second read, and again, should there be any questions, please be certain to let me know.
Okay. Thank you. Down to visitor comments. If anyone has anything that we discussed on the agenda tonight they'd like to raise. Motion to adjourn the meeting.
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Brooks.
Second.
I was trying to think of what I wanted to say. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Meeting adjourned.